Okay, so I was given the verse of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, sixth chapter, and it's 164 to 167. Yeah, that's correct. Sri Vrigaha Yenamane Seita Pasandi Pashandi Adrishya Aspriya Seihaya Yama Dandi. Translation: one who does not accept the transcendental form of the Lord is certainly an agnostic. Such a person should be neither seen nor touched. Indeed, he's punished, is subject to be punished by Yamaraj. Purport. According to the Vedic instructions, the Supreme Personality of Godhead as his eternal transcendental form, which is always blissful and full of knowledge. Impersonalists think that material refers to the form within our experience and that spiritual refers to an absence of form. However, one should know that beyond this material nature is another nature, which is spiritual. Just as there are material forms in this material world, there are spiritual forms in the spiritual world. This is confirmed by all Vedic literature. The spiritual forms in the transcendental world have nothing to do with the negative conception of formlessness. The conclusion is that a person is an agnostic when he does not agree to worship the transcendental form of the Lord. Actually, at the present moment, all systems of religion deny the worship of the form of the Lord due to the ignorance of his transcendental form. The first-class materialists, the Mayavadis, imagine five specific forms of the Lord, but when they try to equate the worship of such imaginary forms with the bhakti, they are immediately condemned. Lord Sri Krishna confirms this in the Bhagavad Gita 7:15, where he says, "Namam duskritino muda prapadyante naradama." Bereft of real knowledge due to agnosticism, the Mayavadi philosophers should not even be seen by the devotees of the Lord. Not touched, because those philosophers are liable to be punished by Yamaraj, the superintendent demigod who judges the activities of sinful man. The Mayavadi Gnostics wander within this universe in different species of life due to their non-devotional activities. Such living entities are subject to the punishment of Yamaraj. Only the devotees who are always engaged in service of the Lord are exempt from the jurisdiction of Yamaraj. Jai Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kripasindubhyeva cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So we have already said the prayers glorifying the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Supreme Lord and the Acharya. So now we go straight to the summarize some excerpt from this purport. I'll try to say something. One who does not accept the transcendental form of the Lord is certainly an agnostic. Such a person should be neither seen nor touched. Indeed, he is subject to the punishment of Yamaraj. So this is quite a serious statement, warning the reader that the association of the Mayavadi is so dangerous. so contaminating. It's actually very influential. Attitudes are contagious. That's what we say. So because their attitude is such a versatile attitude, agnostic, they're very, you could say, inimical, even more than the demons, actually, because the demons, they are materialistic, demoniac person. He has a feeling, even if he has a feeling of anger towards the Lord or towards the divine, at least that feeling is addressed towards a personality. It's subjective. But when a Mayavadi impersonalist, he has no feelings because he denied the existence of God. That is very, very hurtful. Krishna doesn't like it at all. So he prefers more the association of demons. Even like, for example, when Hiranyaksha, he saw the Lord Varahadev, with the form of a hog. He called him a hog, a pig, and he swore at him. He was attacking the Lord with a club. And the Lord, it says there in the Bhagavatam, first canto, Srila Prabhupada gave a very nice explanation. The Lord was in ecstasy. He was in Mahabhava. Why? Because his devotee was attacking him, swearing at him in an inimical feeling. And that is when you treat the Lord as a person. He likes it very much. And Prabhupada would say in the purport, you know, not like the Mayavadi, they kill. They ignore the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his form, his existence. So therefore, it's the most dangerous javelin that you can throw and pierce the heart of the Lord. And that is why it's so serious that devotees are recommended to not associate with the Mayavadi, to not listen to them, to not touch them. It is said that even just by looking such a personality, one should jump in the river and take a bath. One should wash himself because the nine holes of the body becomes contaminated. Just by absorbing the vision of such an offender, Pashandi, it's said here in the Sanskrit words, Shivigraha yena mane seita Pashandi. Pashandi means the worst offender. Now, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is warning very carefully Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya here. Of course, Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya was a Brahmavadi. We already explained, we have learned from the previous verses. He accepts the spiritual energy as a Brahman, at least is something, because the Brahman, as we explained before, it's the ablative aspect of the Lord. Because behind the Brahman, there is a Paramatma, who maintains it, the instrumental aspect, and the locative aspect, which is the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. He impregnates, maintains, and also becomes localized, impregnates the material cosmic manifestation and all the heart of the living entities. And in other words, is the cause of all causes behind material energy, behind the living entities, and behind the Brahma Jyoti, which was the the topmost understanding of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, that the Lord is none other than a spiritual, formless person. But you see, the Mayavadi, they are actually different from the Brahmavadi. The Brahmavadi accept the spirit and the Brahman, you know, the initial aspect of the Lord, they accept it. But the Mayavadi, they negate the even the Brahmajyoti, the Brahman, and the what to speak of the Paramatma and the supreme aspect of the Lord, Bhagavan. I was reading a couple of verses before, verse 159, and Lord Chaitanya told Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that for you to understand the supreme aspect of the Lord, you have to accept the Sambit potency in your life, which is the sacred knowledge. Because, you know, there is the Ladini Shakti, which is the bliss, the Sandini Shakti, which is the understanding the eternality, the longevity of life, and then the Sambit potency, which is the knowledge, which is very important to accept it, to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Once we surrender to the third, to the Sambit potency of the Lord, and he says there specifically that one has to take shelter and surrender. Even if we have a very poor knowledge, even if we don't know anything about who is God, who are we, where we come from, what we're doing in this world, what is this material energy, where we go after we die, even if we don't know nothing, but if we blindly surrender and accept this principle of Sambit, which is the transcendental potency of the Lord, and knowledge, then that's why we accept these books. Then we are saved. It's just like the orphan, he goes to his mother, he finds his mother, and then he says, "You're the only one who could tell me who is my father." So we, as a devotee, we are all orphans. In a neophyte life, when we approach spiritual life, we go to our mother, which is knowledge, the Shastra, these books. I'm talking today with the help of these books. I'm talking a little bit about the presence of the Lord, that he has a personality, an aspect, with the help of the book, without taking shelter of this Sambit, the supreme potency of the Lord, which is the Vedas, the knowledge. Vedas cha sarve raham ima vedyo, Vedanta krit veda vedivacham. That the goal of the Veda is to understand Krishna, the form of the Lord. Vedeshu durlabham madurlabham atma bhakto, Govinda madhi purusham tamaham jami. It's very important to understand that the Sambit, if we surrender to the Sambit, to the knowledge of the Ved, to the Shastra, then she will reveal to us that actually our Ahambija Pradapita, our eternal father, it's none other than Krishna. So the Vedas, they're like our mother, and Krishna is our father. The spiritual master, he helps us to understand, and the devotees, to understand this phenomena, Guru Sadhu Shastra. It's an eternal action that we have to take every day to take shelter to these personalities, to the devotees, to the Guru, and to the Vedas. So Mahaprabhu, first he listened for a long time to Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya, but then very patiently he saw that he was waffling around, talking so much nonsense. But you could see that the Supreme Lord, he was very patient and tolerant. And at the end, he rectified Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya. Now, he made him understand first, we already studied in the previous chapters, that you have understood, you know, that there is the soul. You have understood there is material energy, the relationship with the material energy, what it is, and you have understood, you know, even the Brahman. But now there is something else to understand behind these three causes, you know, the ablative aspect, the instrumental and locative. There were the three things that Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya, he didn't really understand properly, that behind those three things, there is a personal aspect of the Lord. The Lord instrumental, which is maintaining the spiritual world, the Brahma Jyoti, and the living entities, and he also impregnate as a localized Paramatma, all of them, the locative aspect. Ablative aspect that is actually behind them. Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. He's the cause of all this, of everything. He's behind everything. So now he's taking Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya a step a little bit more deep, try to understand what is behind the Brahma Jyoti, the Bhagavan aspect. And he's telling him, you know, to warning him about the Mayavadi. Philosophy is so dangerous. It's so malicious mentality. It's very malicious mentality to cut down, to kill the personal aspect of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is no offense more serious than that. And that's why you find in this verse, one should not even attach, should not even, you know, listen to such a person or even seeing such a person. But it doesn't say, you know, a demon like a materialist, Vishayi. There is a difference between a Vishayi or a Pashanti. Pashanti is the worst offender. Vishayi is enjoyer. Even the worst enjoyer, like Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, they were just enjoyer. Kamsa, but they were personal. They knew the Lord was actually a person. And therefore, the inimical feeling, it brings joy. Just like, you know, when someone ignores you, someone who wants to show that he doesn't like you, then that person, he will completely ignore you. He doesn't look at you. He doesn't listen to you. He doesn't touch you, speak to you. It's very hurtful feeling. It's such a mortifying feeling, you know, that you feel that you've been killed by such a person. You know, one time, I asked a brahmachari, you know, in a temple without mentioning names. I think I mentioned this before, that before I left for India, I asked, you know, if you could kindly please give this letter to such and such. And the person said, sorry, ask somebody else, because I haven't spoken to that person for 15 years. 15 years. It was shocking, you know, that living under the same roof for 15 years, but not talking to each other. It's a hurtful to themselves, to the Lord. It's not nice. So that's the way Krishna feels also when we, if you have whatever feeling you have in your heart, you know, express it, even if it's over anger, even if you are envious of the Lord. That's something. You're addressing him as a person. He likes it. Of course, there is Rupa Goswami. He is actually encouraging the favorable service. But even if we think of Krishna not in a favorable way, like Shishupal, Kamsa was, he was angry. He was envious of Krishna. But he got purified. He achieved the liberation. Shishupal was very envious of the Lord. But he got blessed by being killed by the Lord. That's something. Something is better than nothing. It's a purifying. It's very purifying, even if you have anger. At one time, I remember, very interesting, many, many years ago, my wife was in Vrindavan, and I was here, and I was going through some difficulty. My wife had a miscarriage in Vrindavan. We lost the baby. So a phone call came, and then I was dealing with some builders, you know, fixing, building an extension on the back of my house. I had to run here from India because the council came, and they did the whole thing without planning permission or building regulation. So the whole thing had to be demolished. I didn't even have a place where to stay, where to live. And then I got sick. So, and then my son also, he got sick in India, my youngest son. So things they were not doing very well. My business, I couldn't do any business because my mind was really disturbed. I had to, the temple actually gave me shelter for 3-4 days to clear my head. I was staying in the life membership room. And I had a friend, you know, staying with me and keeping me sane. Then all of a sudden I got a call from my spiritual master, Kamala Krishna Maharaj, was trying to comfort me. And he said, how are you feeling? I said, I'm angry. I'm angry towards Krishna. Why is he doing all this to me? You know, I'm faithful to you. Why? You are my guru. Please tell me, what am I doing wrong? I know maybe some karma, you know, is jumping on me, but why one thing one after another? Because I was young devotees, I couldn't really understand, you know, the vicissitudes of karma. Sometimes, you know, it comes like an avalanche. And I said, I'm angry towards Krishna. Sorry, I cannot lie to you. He was laughing on the phone, and I was shocked. I said, oh my God, you know, you're supposed to chastise me because I'm expressing, you know, an unfavorable feeling towards the Lord. He said, no, I'm so happy. He's so happy because you are actually, some people, they go in difficulty, they completely lose their faith, and they don't even believe in God anymore. If someone dies in the family, they They don't believe in Jesus Christ anymore or God anymore. They don't pray anymore. But he said, you still carry on chanting and you're angry towards him. He said, go and talk to him, shout at him, do what you have to do, get it out of your chest. He likes it. He loves it. And he was telling me, he was saying, actually he told me about the pastimes of Baraha. And when he was very happy, when Hiranyaksha was swearing at the Lord, and he was with a club, was hitting the Lord on the chest, and the Lord, he took the club, the hits, like a garland of flowers on his chest. And the swearing of Hiranyaksha was changed by the goddess Saraswati into beautiful prayers. And if you read that part, Prabhupada, he mentions that the swearing of Hiranyaksha was actually more glorious than the impersonal prayers of Buddhist or Mayavadi, whatever, or people offering sacrifices, because you're addressing the Lord. That's what he wants. When we talk to him, when we think of him, when I go out on Sangitan, I'm thinking today to go out. There's a boy, Kelly Kanana, coming to my place. He wants to come out with me today. So I'm preparing, to give him some training. He wants to learn to do the shopping mall. And I'm thinking of Krishna, please help me, to help this boy. And I feel happy because I know that the Lord, he likes when we think of him. And what to speak when not just thinking of him, but we are also serving him. Just like, then it's a double cream, cake, whatever you call it. It's a feast for Krishna. When you think of him and when you serve him, both together. That's what he told Arjuna. You just carry on fighting for me. Fight for me and think of me while you are thinking of me. And this is, and even if we think of Krishna a little bit, a few seconds of the day, it makes the day successful. And don't worry about the thinking of whether it's favorable or unfavorable, because everything, every feeling gets purified. By thinking of Krishna, he can turn your feeling. Even if you are angry or you feel some jealousy in the heart, or even towards someone or towards by thinking of Krishna, that feeling becomes favorable. It becomes devotional. It's all purifying. It's the fire of the purity of the Lord. Even though you're not touching the form of Krishna, you are not associating with him, but just by thinking of him, think of the way he looks like. You're like devotees in the temple. You are fortunate. You turn your head while you're listening to me and you have a darshan of Radha Gokulananda. I'm meditating on that beautiful form. It's impossible to have a bad day. Because this is the goal of life, to understand who we are, understand this material energy, where we come from, understanding the spirit subject, and above all, understanding that behind everything, deep behind this universe, behind this material world and the spiritual world, there is a little boy that is maintaining everything and is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, very interesting verse. we have to be on guard on who is a Mayavadi. That's why it's a voidism. Srila Prabhupada came to the West to destroy this mentality. Sunyavadi, what is it? Namaste Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pracharine, Nirvishesha Sunyavadi, Paschita Disatarine. He came to address, to change, you know, this mentality of Sunyavadi into devotional personalities like all of us. And you find, you know, practically there are many religions. They are unfortunately labeled by us in one sense, you know, of being Sunyavadi, because they don't accept the personal aspect of the Lord, and they think, you know, it's an idol worship. You know, there are so many, you know, the Buddhists, that they don't accept the supreme aspect of the Lord. Anyway, I don't want to go through all the different types of religion. Not only that, if you try to show them the image, the face of God, then they think, you know, that we are Pashanti, that we are the ones being offenders, infidel, or, you know, very sinful. So therefore, they prefer not to give any, to have a God, but without any form. That's the way they want to advance themselves with their intelligence and devotion, and that's fine. but it's important for us to understand this principle, that Krishna, he very much wants us to think of him as a person. He's a person just like all of us. He eats, he sleeps. He likes to associate, to play. He likes to fight. He has all the desires that we have in our heart, but in a perfect way. He's created all of us, you know, with his image, with all his desires. He has desires, the Lord. And the most beautiful desires that he has is to love, is the topmost. He, amongst all his activities that he performs, is very loving. His love is the most wonderful. Everything that he does, it's with love, loving exchange with his creation, with his devotees, and he loves himself very much. You can't say that Krishna is a narcissist, you know, that he's very much enamored by he's wonderful. And that's why he becomes enchanted. There is a picture, a painting of Krishna looking at his reflection into the mirror or the water. Because he sees something beautiful there. His internal potency, which is the female potency, Srimati Radharani. And he gets attracted. And it's, you can't separate that potency from his happiness. So it's, anyway, we don't want to go there. It's very wonderful and mysterious why the Lord, he loves himself. And also because part of himself, it's us. So when he loves himself, it means he's loving us also. The Ladini Shakti. We're part of the Ladini Shakti of Krishna, part of his internal potency. And even his material energy is within him. So he loves it. He wants to preserve it. You know, people, the environmentalists, they're on big crusader that they love the environment, the sea life, the earth. But who can love the material energy more than Lord Krishna? He was the one, you know, to rescue this world, the planet Earth, from the ocean of, you know, when it was thrown by Hiranyaksha. As a Varahadev, he came and he married. He became the husband of Mother Earth. So the Lord, he loves the earth. He loves the living entities. He loves the creation. And that's why he loves, we are all part of him, and that's why he loves himself. And he's teaching us also how to love ourselves, understanding that we are the soul, and there is a phenomenon attached to the soul that cannot be separated. We may not feel it, we may not see it, but that's the super soul. So therefore, when, you know, to love ourselves means we have to love Krishna within our heart. And that's when we, to love ourselves, to show love for yourself means you don't hurt your body anymore. You know, you accept it with devotion, the body has given you. It's a prasad. That's why we don't take intoxication, no gambling, no illicit sex, no meat eating. We take care of this body, not because we are narcissists, but to respect and love, you know, whatever prasad the Lord has given us, until the last breath of our lives, use it in his service, because it belongs to him, together with our soul, with our existence. Everything belongs to Krishna. And everything, Murti Mata Nasu, what is it? Very beautiful verse from the Bhagavata. Murti Mata Nasu Yave. Forgot the first line, but every form that you see with your eyes into the spiritual world, in the eyes of God, it's full of consciousness and without envy. Murtimat Anasuyave. Without envy means when you don't become violent towards those forms. You know, or those forms are not violent towards any other form. So the most violence, the violent thing, you know, is this subject that we are studying today, for the Mayavadi to envy the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and cutting it off from their existence. So my message is, please do carry on thinking of the Lord, even if he's in an unfavorable way. But of course, you have a very nice environment, all the devotees, whoever is listening to this. We've been taught a devotional service, favorable service, and that is even more pleasing to Krishna. The devotees will never see the faith of their destiny by being punished by Yamaraj. Yamaraj will pay his obeisances. He will, when he sees such a personality, he's afraid of them, actually. We are worried, you know, that, and warned, you know, that Yamaraj is a fearful person and we have to be afraid. Actually, a devotee, it represents the fear for Yamaraj himself. He's afraid of not hurting them or offending them, because he knows they're possessions of the Lord. is one of the supreme servant of the Lord. And he will never dream to harm such a devotee. But those who are offender, Ashanti, towards the devotees and towards the Lord, they will be, you know, given a lesson by Yamaraj, a rectification. So, yes, the Lord is behind everything that we have explained. He's a personality, a great personality, not like us, like the Buddhist or even some Brahmavadi. They think that, you know, I am God, you are God, we are all equal, and let's celebrate the equality. That's not a fact. The Lord is Vibhu, and we are Anu. Anu means very small. Lord Krishna is very great. So humility means accepting and being subordinate to our Creator. We are the subject of this creation. Yes, of course we are individual. He's been so merciful that he has created us with an individuality, a personality, created to give pleasure to him. Every one of us is useful and nobody is necessary. Nobody should think, oh, that person is better than me. No. Actually, understanding the power of God and understanding the depth of humility means that everyone is better than me and I am less than everyone. That's humility. But when we think like that, it's pleasing to Krishna, because every living entity is important in the eyes of God. Every living entity is being created by him for his pleasure. Otherwise, if someone says, you know, I'm useless, actually, it's in one sense, indirectly, it's an offense to Krishna by saying such a thing. Because you are alluring that Krishna or God, he creates useless things. And that means he must be a stupid God. But God is not stupid, because everything he creates is wonderful, is useful. Even the ignorance, it belongs to him. It's been created by Krishna. In the Virat Rupa, is the shoulders of the Lord. He never pays any attention, but still it belongs to the Lord. Just like our own shoulder, you can never turn your head and see how he looks like. Even in the mirror, it's very difficult to see your own back unless someone will point it out to you. Oh, you got a mole on your back, or you got, you know, a hunchback or whatever. So the ignorance, which is material, being created by Krishna, is the shoulder, the back of the Virat Rupa. The Virat Rupa is actually material and also spiritual. It represents the personality aspect of the Lord also. My few pennies message here at the end of the class is that please avoid all those who don't believe in the existence of God, the Mayavadi, and try to not listen to them, and think of Krishna always, and even if he is in an unfavorable way, whatever comes to your mind, think of him in whichever feeling you have in your heart. It will get purified eventually, because everything in spiritual life is progressive. All the imperfections, they become slowly perfection. And that's how we achieve the understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a person. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. I'll leave 5 minutes. I was told to adjourn the class 25 minutes after 8.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. It was a very nice class and many nice points that you remind us of. This safety guard that we must build around ourselves towards the Mayavad mentality. Also, at the moment, you mentioned the Samvit potency of the Lord and how important and beneficial for all of us is to embrace that and humbly surrender to that Samvit Shakti in order for knowledge to be revealed to us, not just read as information, but actually revealed. And the point that I love the most in your presentation was the necessity to be personal towards God. And you gave a very nice personal story, how we must express whatever feelings we have, even if sometimes they are less positive, more negative. And in that connection, I would ask a question. If you could lay out, because in that approach towards God seemed that the most important thing is our honesty. We really need to be honest with our feelings, as you were with your Guru Maharaj when he asked you how you were and you didn't pretend, hey, everything is fine, because it was not. And you expressed that which you thought he would chastise you, and he laughed. He was actually he surprised you. So that was very personal and was very touching to me. So my question is, if you could lay out a few ways or a few thoughts on how devotees can be more honest and real in their feelings towards God and towards Guru as well.
Thank you very much. It's a good question. Honesty, it's very much of a personal thing. Honesty means there are so many degrees of being honest. You know, I can, for example, I'm full of material desires, and maybe I'm fulfilled the desires in my heart, but then I'm preaching today to all of you honesty, or coming across, you know, like a so-called advanced devotee of being 40 years in Krishna consciousness. But I'm only cheating myself and trying to cheat God, because I'm not a pure devotee. I mean, I'm answering my question, your question, with, you know, my own example. I still have desires, unfulfilled desires, and but honesty is synonymous. It's very synonymous to sincerity. We have to be like an open book. You know, I have an open book here in front of me. Open book to the friends, confidential friends, to the guru, to advanced devotee, or to someone, to my wife, you know, someone I can confide in, you know, about my obstacles, my problems, and not keep inside and then pretend to be a good devotee, or just for the sake of having a good reputation by, you know, being seen by the community as a book distributor, or, you know, a very kind person, a good friend to all, kind and generous. Sometimes, you know, You see, all of us, we have a darker area and illuminated area. And we have to decide, you know, which one to present to the society. You know, I like to, you know, we have to be expressive. You can be expressive, you know, to someone that you trust, and you tell them, you know, I've got those problems in my dark area. But you see, a dishonest devotee, a dishonest person, he only shows, you know, a nice face, a smiling face, and he shows, you know, the good things that he's done, is a charity or the good work, or, you know, he wants to be seen, you know, as a good person, to enhance, you know, his fame, reputation, whatever it is. But then, you know, there is a much more advanced devotee that he shows the way he is devotionally, but he also shows, you know, the dark side, you know. You know, he's like an open book, and you can show your dark side to whether you want to make it. It's not necessarily to make it public. You know, some devotees are struggling with some intoxication, whatever it is, or illicit sex or whatever. You know, but it's nice to take some help. Honesty means you open up, you know, to a Vaishnav, to a guru, and take help. So, or you pray to Krishna in your heart, because he knows everything. He's our father. We feel embarrassed sometimes. We think, why? The embarrassment comes about because we think that Krishna is a foreigner, or the guru, but no, they're family. Just like, you know, the mother cleans the stool of the baby. Why the baby should feel embarrassed? You know, they know everything about the baby. It's beautiful, but he also produces some contamination, and he's cleaned by the parents. So an advanced devotee is like that. You know, he can clean the dark side of an honest devotee very nicely, and that advanced devotee could be a guru, could be a, you know, someone you can trust, a friend or a wife or a husband. So we have to take help. That's what it means, honesty. Until, you know, we become transparent materially and spiritually. You know, here, that's what I am. That's my dark side, that's my good side. You know, accept, you know, the spiritual master, he accept the disciple, not in pieces, you know, but as everything, as a person. So Krishna, he's like that. He's created us. So, but along the way of our lives, we produce some contamination, and we are embarrassed to go to him, you know, and show to him. But it's an honest person, you know, he has an open heart. There it is. That's me. Nothing to hide. So anyway, I can't say more than that. I hope it will help a little bit.
Thank you, Vishwambhara Prabhu.